today on Real Radio.
Paul was committed to, listen, talking the talk and walking the walk of Christianity. What he said is what he did with his feet and with his body.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Apostle's Farewell Address, Part 2, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. We're now on the Apostle Paul's third and final missionary journey. The opposition? It's great. But his passion is for all to come to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In Part 1 of the Apostle's Farewell Address from Acts chapter 20, we learned that Paul's final farewell was filled with love and affection for the people. Paul wrapped his arms around them, leaving a lasting impression of comfort and encouragement. Now Paul will soon be heading off to Rome in chains. Still, in verses 17 through 25 of chapter 20, he remains in Ephesus long enough to deliver his final message to the leaders there. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Paul is a great example of what it means to be a Christian. He isn't concerned about rejection, but his thoughts are for the people. Paul served the Lord with great humility and tears, and he kept his eyes on Jesus even through severe trials and testing. And now, in his lesson called The Apostle's Farewell Address, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
In the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse 3, Daniel tells us there through the Lord that those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the stars, and those who turn many toward righteousness shall shine like the stars of heaven forever and ever. And Paul the Apostle was the kind of minister that was committed to leading people to Christ. And once they came to Jesus Christ, Paul was committed to growing them up in the Lord. Paul had what I think quite possibly might be all the gifts of the Holy Spirit working in his life. My goodness, he was an evangelist. He was a pastor. He had the gift of knowledge and of wisdom and encouragement. So many gifts. And Paul moved in the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. His ministry now, as we come to Acts chapter 20, is beginning to wind down. This is the conclusion of his third and final missionary journey. He will soon be heading off to Rome in chains under arrest by the Roman government for trial. And while in Rome, he will lose his head for the gospel of Christ. He will be martyred. He's elderly now, and he's getting on in years. But Paul is faithful. And as he's leaving the area of Ephesus and Asia, he now draws together the leaders of the church and churches of that area or region in Turkey. I told you last week that this is a tearful time, not only for, I think, Paul, but for those who are listening to him. But I think if we're really faithful to getting into the Scripture, we'll begin to understand what might have been felt. So in our study this morning, put on your robes and on your sandals there and be ready and try to listen and try to understand the context of where we're looking. If you're taking notes this morning, you ought to jot this down. We're going to look at two points that are very important. And the first one is found in verses 17 to 21, and that's Paul's farewell talk. Paul will give a farewell talk to these Ephesian elders. And in verses 22 to 25, we're going to see Paul's farewell walk. And I don't know about you, but there are so many people who have brought a reproach toward Christianity. In fact, I heard it last service from someone who heard someone who heard someone talk about something about, aren't Christians supposed to be loving? Aren't Christians supposed to be caring? And this non-believer was judging somebody who was related to somebody, and this person was telling me about the story, and he asked me, well, how do I respond to that stuff? I said, well, first of all, everybody who says there's Christians are not necessarily Christians. Everyone who's in the church is not necessarily of the church. And the witness that you might be receiving from so-called Christians, if it's not Christ-like, is quite possibly from people who are not Christians at all. But listen, the Church of Jesus Christ will survive criticism and will endure. Jesus promised that. But Paul was committed to, listen, talking the talk and walking the walk of Christianity. What he said is what he did with his feet and with his body. And how we all need to be people this morning that are committed Christians to obeying the gospel of Christ. You are either a Christian this morning by virtue of someone ministering to you. It may have been even the Holy Spirit himself talking to you about how you need to come to Christ. Or you might be a non-Christian this morning and you're trying to say, well, I don't even know why I'm here. I don't think I should be here. The reason why I'm not a Christian is because there's hypocrites everywhere. Well, listen, that's the wrong reason. Jesus Christ is the example. And we're going to look at Paul, who of himself said, now can you imagine saying this? Paul says, the things that you've seen me do, you do likewise. Don't you want to say that? I want to be able to say that to you. Things you've seen me do, do likewise. Man, as I was preparing for this message this week, God gave me a snapshot of how rotten I am. Because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Paul's example and I'm thinking, I want to be, Lord, that's just the best teacher, just the best pastor, the best teacher, that those people really know that they're loved and well-fed and really taken care of like Paul. And the Lord said, liar. And I began to think about that for a minute. Oh, gosh, Lord, I mean, really? And I started thinking, you know what? We are so evil. I say we because it helps me feel better. I am. I began to think about what the Lord was calling me on the carpet about. He was thinking, or he was saying to me, you know what? You want these people to be taught. You want them to have a really great message so they'll run out of the building and bring all their friends and people can say, man, God's really moving at Calvary Chapel. And, well, yes, Lord. And the Lord said, man, that's the wrong reason. Your reason needs to be just for them, for their sake, for them. You need to love them because I love them. You need to teach them because I want them taught. You need to give them your life because I've given them my life. You are to be an example. And I mean, that startled me. I, you know, repented and got scared a little bit. None of us want to walk around as some like some spiritual misfit. But we have to be careful. Paul is going to show us how to walk this walk of faith. So in your Bible, look at verse 17 right now. We'll see in verses 17 to 21, Paul's farewell talk. It says here now, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when he had come to him, or when they had come to him, he said to them, you know that from the very first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you. The very first thing that we see right now is verse 17, that Paul, being the Christian leader who we ought to model ourselves after, called the Ephesian elders to Miletus. Now look, they're about 28 miles away. He sends a messenger and he says, hey, I want you guys to come to a real quick pastor's conference. It kind of sounds like it was unplanned. And so they come. 28 miles. Now you and I get in our car and go 28 miles in a moment. It's no big deal. 28 miles for these guys to come. They had to leave jobs. They had to leave families. They came either by sailing or by ship. And they came. Paul not only called them, the beautiful thing is that they responded. They decided to come. I praise God. I'm grateful for the tape ministry here. And the tapes get sent out all over the place. And we're blessed by that. But there are a lot of people who say, well, I'm not going to go this month or this week or in my lifetime, I'm going to get tapes. Well, that's fine, kind of. You don't get the worship like Brett was worshiping, leading us in worship. You don't get that on tape. You don't get the fellowship of the brethren together. You don't get that. There's a special blessing that God has engineered in the gathering of us believers together. Are you willing to come and gather around and with God's people? Very important. Well, you know, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. That's true, but you go to church to grow. We need to be in fellowship with each other. They respond to Paul's calling. Why don't you guys come? And so they come. And look what happens here. It says that the elders came. First of all, the word elders here is a very important word. It's presbyter or presbytery. The word means one who's experienced in spiritual matters. It has nothing to do with how old you are. You know, we think because that guy's got gray hair, it's time for him to be a pastor. You know, that is not right. That's not right according to the Bible. The word elder here is one who is experienced in spiritual matters, regardless of age. You aware of that? And I'm going to want you to jot this down because there's some confusion, and I don't want it to be this way any longer after this look at this word. The word elder is also interchangeable with the word bishop, which is also interchangeable with the word pastor. They all mean the same thing. But listen carefully. The elder is the man and his spiritual experience. The bishop is the ministry that he is involved in. Still the same guy. Pastor is what the elder does when he's bishoping. When he bishops correctly, he pastors. The word means to shepherd the flock. They're all the same thing. If I am going to be a faithful pastor, by the way, Wednesday nights, starting last Wednesday night, be here for the next 3 weeks as we go through our responsibility toward godly leaders in the church. Very important. Some of you might say, I don't want to even come to a study like that because I've been wronged or hurt. That's why we're doing that study. If we're going to be godly examples, we need to be operating in this position as an elder, experienced in spiritual things. We need to be bishoping, that is exercising and executing the ministry. And how we do it is by pastoring, by overseeing, not overbearing the ministry. The pastor's to feed, not beat the sheep. Very important. And so he's called them together. And in verse 18 it says, and when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I've always lived among you. Jot this down in your notes, verse 18. Paul's going to talk to them about the past. And this is serious stuff. He says here, what manner? The word manner in the Greek means, and it's an interrogative way. He's saying, you guys come and examine me, all of you elders. You take a look and you examine me, Paul is saying. And you notice my lifestyle. You've noticed it all along. I want you to know right now and be mindful, he is saying, that you have witnessed the way I live. Isn't that great? Isn't that refreshing? I don't know what kind of picture you've seen, but if you, you know, you see guys, they're ministers, and they pull up in a limo, and they have people waiting on them. Listen, that is not the word minister. They're some kind of a church superstar, which is an oxymoron. You can't put the two together. It's impossible. Jesus Christ is the star. He's the head. He's the one. But ministers are to be at the bottom of the, what, pyramid? The chain of command? It's supposed to be that way. Now, you might be saying, well, yeah, right. Why are you up there on Sunday? Because the teaching of the word goes out to instruct you. I spend time with God to find out what he wants to say to you as God has ordained that you might be lifted up. The minister of God is to decrease, like John the Baptist did, so that Christ might increase. And if there is a action, or if there's a atmosphere in a ministry or a church that's opposite to that, there needs to be repentance. There needs to be a change. Paul is such a great example. In 1 Peter 5:2, the Bible tells us there that we are to be feeding the flock of God, which God has made us overseers of. Not by constraint, not by dishonest gain, but willingly. Not of a selfish mind, but of a mind ready to give. And it says there in verse 3 of 1 Peter 5, that we need to be examples. So he talks about them concerning his past. He says, you've seen my lifestyle. And then look what it says, always. The lifestyle that I've always lived among you. You should underline always. It means absolute consistency, incredible consistency. And you might think like I think, well, that throws me out. You ever had those dry times in your Christian walk and those high times? Maybe like seasons. Have you noticed? Where like there's a summertime in your Christian experience, and then there's a fall and there's a winter where nothing seems to be growing. Everything looks dead. Well, you know what? That is not what he's talking about here. Seasons will come and go in your Christian experience. The thing is, he stayed consistent. He stayed at his calling. He kept following the Lord. Man, are you going through a dry time? Keep following the Lord. Are you going through a great time when God is just blessing you now and things are going great? Stay with him. Is it kind of like, Is it fall or spring, kind of in between? Stay with the Lord. We all, if we're growing in Christ, will experience these ups and downs. And I tell you, the consistency about Paul being always in the race is he kept his eye on Christ in the midst of the ups and downs. You guys are looking so blank. Do you ever have ups and downs in your life? Thank you. Thank you. I thought I was the only one. Stay with him. I had a precious brother give me a call the other day, and he said, you know what? I am so tired of my Christian walk. It's up and down, up and down. I get so tempted to go back into the world that I came out of. And we began to talk and go through the scriptures about keeping your eye on the cross and on Christ, because the ups and downs will come, but you stay fixed on Jesus. It's being a disciple. Paul was faithful to that. And we need to be faithful to that. And we need to pray that our leaders are faithful to that. Paul had a tremendous obligation towards Jesus Christ. I see that in verses 19 and 20. It says here that he's serving the Lord. And this is a very powerful thing to me, and it means a lot to me. And it should mean a lot to you in service. Listen, he doesn't say, I'm serving the body. Now, did he serve the body? Yes, he did. It doesn't say that he served the church. It doesn't say that he served the board. It says he served the Lord. And this is the key to Christian burnout. You will never experience burnout as a servant of Jesus Christ if you're doing it under the Lord. Paul says, I'm serving the Lord. Listen, the church is going to let you down. I'm going to let you down. Your best friend's going to let you down. We are humans. We will let you down, sad to say. We don't intend to, but it will happen. God will never let you down. Paul says, I'm serving Jesus Christ. His commitment and his dedication is to him. That's what causes us to keep going in ministry when it gets hostile or gets hard. People might say something about you. Are you going to fold up your ministry? That's it. They hurt my feelings. I'm out of here. Listen, you keep your eyes on Jesus. In fact, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, God's going to use you and the attacks are going to come just by virtue of you following the Lord. And you've got to be able to realize what I'm doing is for Jesus Christ and him alone. Because if it's for them, if it's for me, if it's for you, we're going to fail. We're going to run out of gas. We'll start hearing things like, don't I do enough for you? Didn't I just do this last week and now you don't even thank me? You ever heard that? I did this 10 times today and you didn't even notice it. Listen, you're doing it for them, not for the Lord. The Bible says, in all that you do, do it unto the Lord. You won't burn out that way. And you'll be able to take criticism because it's going to come. He's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. He's committed to him. Look what it says, with all humility and with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. The word humility is a great word. Listen carefully. Jot it down. Boy, is it something we don't hear about these days. Humility. It means to have a humble mind toward yourself, to be modest towards your own self. Listen, to be lonely in the mind of self. It means to not have you in your mind. Is that against our culture today or what? Everybody says, well, think about yourself. Think about number one. Think about me, myself, and I. Daffy Duck is so proficient at that. It's mine, mine, mine. Give it to me, 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 mine, mine, mine. And we've got a culture like that. Paul says, listen, I came to you and I ministered to you in humility. It means I didn't have my thoughts on me. He says, my thoughts were on you. How do you become humble? You can write a book on it. You can do a series, do a teaching series on humility. I would never want to do such a thing. That would be scary, wouldn't it? You could even, well, I'm going to teach you about how to be humble, humility. You can write a book, How I Became Humble, bestseller. You know, number one on the... If you wrote a book on humility, it shouldn't even make the charts, right? I guess. How I Became Humble. Can't do it. It's a divine work of God. God works humility into our lives. How does he do it? Through tears. Through trials. In Numbers 12:3, great verse, Numbers 12:3. Who wrote the book of Numbers? Anybody know here? Moses, right? It says in Numbers 12:3, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more humble than all the men on the face of the earth." Signed, Moses. Isn't that great? That cracks me up. Ask him. He said so. He says right here. God works humility in our lives. It's divine. You are going through things right now in your life, and I am, to get us to the place of being humble. Why? Because when we decrease, Christ increases. When we are a low state, Jesus Christ shines all the more. It is not, read my lips, it is not bad to be humble God's way. It's essential. Jesus said in Matthew 18:4, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a child will be the greatest in the kingdom of God." Isn't that important? Isn't that powerful? We've got to become like a child. What is a child like? We're talking about a child. Jesus is using the word child as a child that is instructive and informative. He's teachable. You ever seen, what is that age? You know, some people say the terrible twos. Listen, my little kids had their terrible time later. The twos were a great age for us. We could say, jump into daddy's arms, they would jump. Can you go get this? They would go get this. Put on your dress, they would try, you know, they did everything. It's so precious. Jesus is saying, you got to become like a child again. What is that? Just absolute childlike faith. God says, give me a hug, give him a hug. Give me a kiss, give him a kiss. Walk with me, you walk with him. We grow up and we become a teenager in the spirit and we start thinking, well, I'm going to do it my way. Everybody else is stupid. I'm the only one in the world who knows anything. When is the world going to catch up to my vast intellect and knowledge? All of a sudden, my parents have become brain dead. I don't understand it. Listen, be careful. We grow up in the world, and it's diametrically opposed to our growth in Christianity. We need to be gentle and believing and trusting toward Christ. He will not steer you astray, but you and I say, yeah, right. Listen, you're too grown up already. You better back off and become like a child. You ever heard of the four R's of humility? No? I made them up this week, so how could you have heard of them? The first one is, jot it down, recognizing who we really are compared to Jesus Christ. Recognizing who we really are compared to Jesus Christ. That means we're nothing compared to him. He's in heaven. We're on the earth. He's holy. We're not. He's eternal. We're finite. He knows all. We don't know much. He saved us. We cannot save ourselves. He's our sacrifice upon the cross because we could not save ourselves.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Apostles' Farewell Address, Part 2. Thanks for listening. And humility, according to the Bible, is a two-way street. The welfare of others is our concern, while our welfare is Christ's concern. The Apostles' Farewell Address, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And if you need to get a hold of us or have questions regarding your faith in Christ, we'd love to hear from you. Just head over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Contact tab. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.